Where's the clicker? Where are we? Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay, good evening, everyone. Erev Tov. Thank you for coming. I would like to thank, as always, Rabbi Ari Berman, the head of YU, Rav Dr. Stu Halperin, Rav Yaakov Taubes, the great Michal Hass, and the great pizza she always brings with her. You can open it. Oh, I see you're already doing it. Great. Okay. Now, as an Israeli, I always tell you, you can act like an Israeli while you're here every week, no problem. I want to thank Jonathan Uri and, of course, Uri Westrich for taking care of the live broadcasting. Is it working? Baruch Hashem. And, of course, I want to thank Stephanie Strauss, the Mizrahi Movement, Karen Danieli. And I welcome you here. And I also want to mention the kids in Israel. We have a new project with the Ministry of Education. They watch it as part of their English lessons, okay? The classes are watching this year. So I told them if I make any mistakes, I want them to write and, you know, correct me, help me with my English. And, of course, I thank the great translator, Yehoshua Siskin, for all the great work he does with the Hebrew-English shiur. So this week's parasha, the Torah portion we read is called Toldot. We have 106 verses, 106 psukim. We have Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Esav. We have zero positive mitzvot, mitzvot aseh. We have zero negative mitzvot, mitzvot lo ta'aseh. But we do have a lot of, I would say, holy, important content, things we can really learn from the parasha. The word toldot, the beginning of the parasha, these are the toldot of Yitzchak. Ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. These are the generations, that's Yitzchak history, that's, I would say, the chronicles of Yitzchak, okay? Why are we describing his toldot from now, okay? He's 40. That's the next pasuk mentions that this fact. Vayhi Yitzchak ben 40 shana. He's 40 years old when he takes Rivka, bat betuel arami, mi padan aram, achot lavana arami, what a yichus. He takes her for a wife to himself. So wait a minute. We start describing his toldot, okay? But we also mention he's 40. What's going on here? After all, Yitzchak had quite a history before this. His childhood by the side of Ishmael, of course, the binding of Yitzchak, Akedat Yitzchak, the death of his mother Sarah, the wedding with Rivka, the prayer there, he established Tfilat Mincha. Despite all of these, his history begins now. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, with one sentence, I would say, says that, I would say, the emphasis on Yitzchak's life is starting now because of one simple, beautiful reason. He says, "Lelamdecha," it comes to teach us, to teach you, "Shetachlit hakavana of Hashem," okay, the purpose of everything, "Eina mesirut nefesh," is not self-sacrifice, meaning the akedah, is, what is the kavana? What's the intention of everything? What's the purpose? "Ela berur haolam," but rather the clarification of the world. But rather our, I would say, the need to refine, to improve the world. This is more dramatic than the akedah. Now look at our lives. Nobody will say, "Oh, I'm getting married. I'm taking care of the kids. I'm going out to dates." Okay, here, nobody will say that's our mesirut nefesh. That's our akedah. Yes, lelamdecha shetachlit hakavana ena akedah ela berur haolam. Our normal, sometimes boring, dull, regular life, that's our mesirut nefesh, the daily mesirut nefesh, the everyday acts. And let's continue after describing, I would say, the beginning of the parasha. Let's continue to the main pasuk, at least for us tonight. Very complicated thing is described here. V'yetar Yitzchak la'Hashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi v'yetar lo Hashem. It's a beautiful word in Hebrew. Don't use it when you come to Israel. As always, the biblical Hebrew is not the Hebrew you use in Natbag or in the streets of Yerushalayim. Don't order pizza with the word Yetar. It's a beautiful ancient Hebrew word. It's hard to translate it. In most of the sources where I checked, it's just prayed. Yes, but it's not Yitzchak Itpalel. Yitzchak Ne'etar. Ein Tafresh. something is special about it. Like, it's hard to translate it. But Yitzchak was davening, was really praying to Hashem opposite lenochach ishto, opposite his wife, because she was barren. They still had no kids. And Hashem accepted, v'yetar lo, Hashem accepted his prayer, and Rivka, his wife, conceived. Now, Rashi explains, just imagine this situation. Every time my kids come back from, you know, kindergarten, without they paint, they draw this childish, like, thing. I say to myself, there are so many hard questions to ask about this story. How come kids, like, you know it by heart? Listen, something here doesn't make sense. V'yetar, Rashi explains, he prayed much and urgently. Okay. Lenochach ishto, ze omed bezavit zo, umitpalel, vezo omedet bezavit zo, umitpalelet. Imagine this room, that's maybe the opportunity to mention, we're here at the Stern College, Lexington Avenue and 34, 7th floor, Tuesday night. So, he's standing here. Imagine this room. He's standing there in one corner. He stood in this corner and prayed, whilst she stood in the other corner and prayed. Okay, they each davened. V'ye'ater lo, Hashem answered him, lo ve'lo la, not hers, but the prayer of, and that's the explanation. The hard thing Rashi is saying to us here is, she'en doma tfilat tzadik ben tzadik, litfilat tzadik ben rasha, lefichach lo ve'lo la. The prayer of someone who is a righteous and he's a son of a righteous man, you can't compare it. Does not compare to the prayer of a righteous man, the son of a wicked man, Ben Rasha. Therefore, Hashem accepted his prayer and not hers. It really sounds like something very insulting. If I was Rivka, why is the child of a tzaddik, more important than a child of a Rasha, an evil person? I would think exactly the opposite. Rivka, Chazal described Rivka as keshoshana ben ochachim. Keshoshana ben ochachim means she was the only one there in this really awful family, awful background. She became Jewish. She became religious. She worked hard on herself. She changed herself in a really hard environment. Why discriminate against her? And we will answer this question. But in order to answer this question, we must take a journey, okay, to define what does it mean to be a tzaddik ben tzaddik. Okay? Enlisting the events of the parasha, and I think we will all feel this feeling of deja vu while we will read the parasha, and this will help us explain what's the deepest way to understand what Rashi is saying here, why it's not insulting, why I think it teaches a lot, gives a lot, conveys a deep message to us. So what does it mean to be tzaddik ben tzaddik? I think I learned two new words here in the States. FFB, frum from birth. Yitzchak is the first frum from birth in the Torah. I know you have all your groups and, you know, forums for frum from birth. Yitzchak is the first one. He established your frum from birth club. He started it. The first one who came from a religious house. Observe, I don't know exactly which yeshiva, exactly which type, more to the right, more to the left, more modern, Hasidish, yeshivish. He was the son of Avraham Avinu. And he's the first one who stayed religious. I also learned another word here, OTD, off the derech. This, we already saw examples of off the derech in the Torah. Ishmael, you can even say Cain. Many kids decided to do it differently. Next parasha, Esav, but Yitzchak is the first one teaching us how can you be from birth and why does it make you special although you do not feel it and remember it every day, you know, in your daily routine, in your daily life. So let's look at, I would say, three characteristics of what, of Yitzchak, of us, of religious people today. The first thing the parasha describes is Asher haya bimei Avraham, that had been in the days of Avraham. Let's just see the first pasuk. But as I said, deja vu. It's okay. You can fall asleep while I'm reading this pasukim. I won't be insulted because it reminds us of what we just read last week. You look at the Torah and you say that's like copy paste. What's going on here? Why? I mean, Why is it so important to the Torah, to Hashem, to tell us exactly the same details, exactly the same places, exactly the same enemies, as we will see in a minute. So once again, there's hunger, there's famine in the land of Israel. V'yehi ra'av ba'aretz. Milvad ha'ra'av ha'rishon, asher haya b'imei Avraham. Remember these four words. We already had it. You know, done it, been there, saw it, read it. Okay, that's the life, that's the journey Yitzchak has to take. There's a ra'av ba'aretz, milvad ha'ra'av ha'rishon, that had been in the days of Avraham. And Yitzchak went to Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, to Grar. Once again, Ra'av, once again, Avimelech, once again, wandering around. And the Torah, it continues. And look at all these psukim. Everything sounds so passive. Nothing to write home about. Nothing exciting. Vayera elav Hashem, vayomer al tered Mitzrayim. Okay? Don't go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land that I will tell you. Just do what I tell you to do. Don't move. Why? Don't move. Rashi comments there. Rashi writes, since you are holy, you do not go out of the holy land. It's not fitting for you. So what, he is not allowed to move. So what is he allowed to do? Gur ba'aretz hazot, live here. Ve'yeimach, I will be with you. I will bless you. You and of course your kids to come. Lama? Asher nishbati le'Avraham avicha. Once again, Avraham is mentioned by his name. And v'irbeti et zaracha kekochvei ha'shamayim, ekev asher shama, Avraham bekoli, v'yishmor mishmarti, mitzvotai, chukotai v'dorati. Avraham is mentioned three times already. Okay, the word Avraham appears in these psukim. Avraham Avinu, and for Yitzchak, of course, it's Avraham Avi, his personal father, passed away, but he is still present. And I would say, It's really tough because everything is done. Everything is in Avraham's merit. Everything happens now is about his legacy, to continue his way, his path, his revolution. So Avraham started something here. Yitzchak must continue. And in order to continue, he can't start anything else from scratch. Nothing can be new here. So look at this. He cannot... just in order to find a wife, no, Eliezer will bring you your wife in Eretz Israel. In order to find food, no. We know you're hungry. You can't go out from Eretz Israel either. And what the next pasuk? Once again, so passive. Vayeshev Yitzchak b'Grar. Three words. Yitzchak dwelled in Grar. And the Ibn Ezra even says, Asa ka'asher tzivahu Hashem. He did as Hashem commanded him. How simple, how unglamorous. He does what he's told, and that's it. And Ele Toldot Yitzchak, that's the history of Yitzchak. And it reminds us of the Pasuk, the last parasha. You remember, it was also something very in this copy-paste style. It started to remind me of Vayavi'eh Yitzchak, Ha'ohel Asara Imo, Vayikach Et Rivka, Vatehi Lo Leisha, he builds exactly the same tent. Avraham and Sarah's tent is closed. Yitzchak and Rivka's tent is now opened. And afterwards, we will not elaborate because there are so many examples. So I just want to show you this copy-paste life. How can you leave these kind of really, it's frustrating. You feel like you're just, you know, double the same chapters of the Torah. Once again it happens. Vayishalu anshei ha'makom le'ishto, vayomer achoti. So once again he comes and says, it is my sister, just like Avraham, his father did. Ki yareh le'emor ishti, pen yahrguni anshei ha'makom, because Rivka is also beautiful. I'm afraid you will kill me, just like Avraham was afraid. Same story. That's the first, I would say, way to define Yitzchak. And it says in Hebrew, kol ha'tchalot kashot. It's Rashi says, all the beginnings are hard. Yitzchak proves to us that kol ha'hemshechim kashim, all the continuations are also hard. It's very hard to start something, to be the first generation. Maybe it's even harder to not start anything. And without Yitzhak, Abraham's revolution would have disappeared. Think about it. If you do not have this second generation who is just willing to do what he's meant to do, Abraham's legacy wasn't here. Yaakov will not sit in Israel. Of course, we know he will wander, he'll go, come back, everything. He will have a lot of, I would say, adventures. Abraham, of course, lived heroic life. But is it heroic to just be Yitzhak? I think yes. That's spiritual heroism, spiritual bravery, and that's the first thing Yitzhak teaches us. Now let's move forward, because the parasha describes, I would say, the second way to define Yitzhak after we said, okay, he does exactly what his father already did. He's digging wells. Throughout the parasha, you read again and again how important it is for him to dig these wells in the land of Israel. Why is it so important? Once again, the Torah emphasizes and describes this event and this event. It's all about these wells in the land of Israel. V'chol ha-be'erot asher chafru avdei aviv bimei Avraham aviv sitmum plishtim vayemal'um afar. All the wells that his father... How frustrating. Look, this pasuk, you really can feel so... Look, all the wells... Avraham already digged these wells. And all the wells that his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped them up and filled them with earth. It's quite frustrating. You know, you already did, I mean, once again, been there, done that. I think when I read these words, I can't help but think about our enemies today. It's part of their strategy just to destroy what we already built, okay? Nothing happened. I mean, it's your water too. You do not have this water now. Look at what you've done. You've ruined, you're hurting yourself. No. The main purpose is we want to harm Abraham and his descendants up until today. Look at the commentators. Haradak, Harav David Kimchi, when he looks at this pasuk, how they come and destroy the wells, ki amru, gam lo gam lanu lo ye. None of us will have these wells. We don't care. We won't be able to drink. As long as Yitzhak will not have water. It reminds me of part of our enemies today. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch also explains, they shut off the wells with sheer gloating. They were so happy, happily destroyed it. But you're harming yourself. And Rav Ovadia Sforno, the Sforno says, Satmu ha-be'erot besinat kinatam. They plug up the wells with hatred and jealousy. When I look, unfortunately, at our neighbors today, especially just now, the Palestinians, once again, there was one rocket near Gaza Strip, near the city of Sderot. Baruch Hashem, everything is okay. But sometimes I think about this strategy, okay? We can build the Middle East together. Why are you ruining our things after we built cities, everything, everything we try to do in a positive way. And I think that's part of what really defines our enemies in the Middle East. Unfortunately, until today, they also choose to behave in such a manner. You know, they can send balloon, kites, fire, rockets. The main thing is to destroy and not to build. But after this really sad, negative pasuk, comes, I think, one of the most beautiful psukim in our Torah. I'm not exaggerating, really. I think it's one of the beautiful, optimistic, positive, uplifting psukim in our Torah. Look at these beautiful words. Vayashav Yitzchak, vayachpor et be'erot ha-maim, asher chafru bimei Avraham aviv, vayesatmum plishtim, acharei mot Avraham, vayikra lahen shemot, kashemot asher kara lahen aviv. Yitzchak again dug the wells of water which they had dug in the days of his father Abraham, and the Philistines had stopped them up after Abraham's death. And he gave them names, like the names that his father had given them. And immediately afterwards, we read, look at this beautiful result. And Yitzchak's servant dug in the valley, and they found there a well of living waters, Maim Chaim. Who wants to dig up wells that his father had already dug before him? and who wants to call them by the name. At least let me invent a name. No. You will call it exactly in the same name. Yitzhak proves, I think, to us when it comes to how important digging is, how important the heritage your ancestors left is, and how essential is everything we do in Eretz Israel. I mean, Abraham, many commentators explain, he didn't just dig it for the water. It was much more than that. Abraham gave these wells names that weren't just random names. Names have meaning. Here in the States, it's very interesting. Usually when I meet someone who's Jewish, I always ask for the name and then for the Hebrew name. Completely different. Like Jennifer Bela Rivka. Yeah. It's always like John Yaakov Chaim. Okay. And but I saw here, my kids, they always ask, what's the meaning of the names of the streets? In Israel, when you have a name to the street, that's very meaningful. We live in Abba Evan Street in Jerusalem. He was a U.S. ambassador here for the U.N. In the past, we live in the Jordan Street. It's the name of the beautiful Jordan River in the Har Yarden. I grew up in a street called Rabbi Akiva near Harav Kook Street. All names with a lot of like history and meaning. Here, I'll meet you at the 4457. All kinds of. It's hard to, to find meaning in these names. Names really have names educate us. And when Abraham gives, I would say these names, it's like I would say a campaign. One well is called Hashem Yireh, Hashem Nisi, Be'er Lechai Roi. Deep meaning. When you say this name, it educates you, it influences you, okay, spiritually. Because if you all these avodah zarah, idol worship, but you say to your friend, oh, I'll meet you by Hashem Nisi. You said it, you mean it. Even if you didn't pay attention to what you say. Abraham was given names in the land of Israel in order to teach all the nations there the name of God, to call upon to call the name of God. And what we see here, that's the beautiful explanation in the book called Haktav VeHaKabbalah, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mikelenberg, and he says, Yitzhak was an educator. He wasn't just a chofer digging wells. Uvehitbatel ha-be'er nitbatel shma. When they destroyed Abraham's wells, they destroyed his belief, his faith. Okay, when they canceled, when they turned off, when they deleted his legacy, okay, everything was canceled. And it was written to announce that Yitzhak took hold of Abraham's actions and endeavors to excavate those wells and restore their names in order to restore true faith. It wasn't just a technical thing. I want a drink. I'm thirsty. Okay, here's the well exists again. No. It was a lesson to the whole area. How should we live? And Yitzhak so brings people close to Hashem once again after they had lost their faith. And by the way, our commentators draw like a parallel between these three wells and the three temples, the three Batei Mikdashot, three Batei Mikdash, that two were destroyed, one Bezrat Hashem will be built. There's a lot of things written about it. But I think when there's even something even deeper that Yitzhak is doing, because once again, I will the Lubavitch Rebbe will help us out here. This week, the annual Chabad conference, annual gathering of Chabad Shlichim took place here in Brooklyn, and I had the privilege, the zchut, of being there this Sunday morning. We woke up really early on Sunday. We got used to Sundays, that's a problem. So we woke up really early this Sunday, and we went to Eastern Parkway, famous street, where they always take this special famous picture. First time I'm there, you always see it, but that's a hard question. How do you put together 4,000 or 5,000 Shlichei Chabad, Lubavitcher's Hasidim, in one frame? They bring a special photographer, a special cameraman, and he works for hours with them. One hour it takes him to just make it happen, They should make them all stand. They should, for an hour, They should just stand, don't not do anything, not put the filling to anyone, just stand there. 5,000 Mendes, you know, standing there. And he's like taking care of all the details and cheese and countdown and everything. And I was there. I recorded a piece to Channel 12, where I work in Israel. And we stayed with them. There's the banquet at the end of the annual conference, because before they all go back home, fly back home, they have a big event once again. 5,000 people, one hall. It was in New Jersey. And many people speak there. The ambassador, David Friedman, spoke beautifully. Rabbi Kotlowski, the head of the Knesset, the head of this convention, other important rabbis. And there was one kid who spoke said something beautiful about these wells and the wells we are also supposed to dig in our personal life. So the kid's name is Shalom Horovitz. He's the son of Rav Itzi Horovitz, a shaliach from California, a shaliach in California. And his father, Itzi, has ALS. I'm sure you know how awful this disease can be. And he has this eye-tracking technology. And he wrote these words, words of Torah, that his son was reading during this convention. So this is Shalom, and he was standing there and quoting the word, once again, the words his father wrote with the help of an eye-tracking technology. And that's the message from California, from Rabbi Horovitz, through his son to us. It wasn't just a message to the shlichim, to each and every Jew. And Shalom began. In this week's Torah portion, Parashat Toldot, it is written that Yitzchak Avinu dug wells. The Rebbe explains that digging wells is very important, is a very important work, and is, in fact, our mission today in our generation. What do you do when you dig a well? To remove the dust, the dirt, and the mud, and go deep until we reach the sweet waters hidden below. The Rebbe said that this is our objective in relation to every Jew, to dig, not to pay attention to the external layers blocking the way, and to find the divine spark within, deep there. This is true, not only regarding every person, but regarding every situation too. That's his father's message. We need to find the meaning that lies within every difficulty, disease, and challenge. During the last few years, he says, I have learned that not a person exists who does not struggle. My struggle is simply more obvious, more on display. Okay, we all know he's sick, but everyone struggles. The goal is to dig wells in order to discover the message from Hashem that we can reach heights never before imagined, and in so doing, elevate those around us too. We have to know concept of the incredible treasures hidden within every one of us. So this bar mitzvah boy, his bar mitzvah was a month ago, was speaking there, of course, standing ovations and rounds of applause. But I really think the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, was one of the great well diggers in our generation. He was really able to find the beauty and the goodness inside each person. But once again, it's our mission to discover the full potential in every human being, in every person we meet. You need to dig, and eventually you will reach it. There's Mayim Chaim there. And that's, I would say, the second quality Yitzchak teaches us, okay? He also, when he, many people ask, why Yitzchak chose Esav? Once again, Rivka thought Yaakov will continue family legacy, the family message. Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav. That's part of his educational philosophy. He's a digger. He sees what's in there. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Holy Or HaChaim, Rav Chaim Ben Attar, said, he had no children, by the way. Rabbi Chaim Ben Attar had no kids of his own. But he says, Yitzchak's relationship with Esav, as a digger of wells, okay, as someone who is always searching for what is good, it can explain to us why he chose Esav. Yitzchak chafetz levarech et Esav HaRasha. He wanted to bless Esav, the evildoer, because he thought that by means of blessing Esav, he would transform, okay, and the evil in him would be turned into good, and he would change his ways. Itapech lemidat hatov. Okay? Because the righteous people, it's hard for them. When they see their kids, the tzaddikim, when their children do evil. So Yitzchak did all he could for Esav to improve, hoping his efforts could possibly be of benefit. Look at the last three words. Ve'efshar she'aya mo'il. That's fascinating. It opens like this opportunity. Maybe it was possible to change Esav harasha into Esav tzaddik. That's Yitzchak, it's not us. That's our Chaim. It's not me telling you. Ve'efshar she'aya mo'il. Possibly be of a benefit. Efshar she'aya mo'il. Maybe it's a possibility we, as parents, as people who work with other people, as teachers, as human beings, should remember when we meet Esavs. And there are a lot of Esavs out there. So that's basically the second thing we learn here. To dig wells, okay? Never give up. Although, once again, it's not fascinating. It's not, you know, not a lot of rating, not a lot of likes, not a lot of smileys, emojis, you know, feedback, like response. Nobody really pays attention to those who just dig the same wells, give them the same name. What do you want? No headline here. But we read this every week that it became our essential headline. So I guess it is very meaningful. Now, there's another thing hidden here. What also, like, let's look at Yitzchak's action. Learn from them. Ele toldot Yitzchak. The third thing, it's like a hint. The Torah does not say, look at Yitzchak. He's davening for 20 years. Nobody's saying it like this. But look at the psukim. Look at this. Ve'Yitzchak ben 40 shana. Yitzchak was 40 years old when he took Rivka, the daughter of Betuel, to himself for a wife. He was 40 when he got married. And after a few psukim, Yaakov and Esav, Baruch Hashem, are born. Ve'Yitzchak ben 60 shana beledet otam. And Yitzchak was 60 years old when they were born. Okay, it's not hard calculating. We're talking about 20 years of prayer. Yitzchak does not make a revolution in the world. He makes a revolution inside himself. In the words of Abraham, Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Rav Kuk, in his words, he says, Tfilatam shel tzadikim osa mahapecha gdola. The prayer of the righteous makes a great revolution, brings about a great revolution. It means something. Think about Yitzchak. If you come to him after 5 years, Yitzchak, what have you been doing? Davening, praying. 17 years later, what are you doing lately? Praying, davening. You're digging wells, you're doing what your father already did, and you tell me you talk to Hashem? Yes, that's what I'm doing. And that's the most important revolution of all. Hanan Porat, he wasn't a Rav in Israel. He was a member of the Knesset, Chaver Knesset, a member of the parliament. Maybe we should also dedicate the shiur to the success of the government in Israel, Bezrat Hashem, to some stability, any government. I mean, what's going on in the Knesset? I told you, my kid, my son asked me, he heard them, like, I asked this week, if we will have, God forbid, third elections, so what will be the date? So it's March 3rd, I think. So I wrote it, you know, in my schedule immediately to see I do not have any lectures or events here in the state. You know, we work here this year. So he saw me and he says, oh, mommy, you're going to Israel again to vote and to cover the third elections. He said, mommy, I know we're the only democracy in the Middle East, but aren't we a little bit exaggerating with this democracy thing? Yeah, three elections in 1 year. I hope not. Anyway, Hanan Porat was a commentator. He wrote beautifully about the parasha, and his writings weren't translated into English yet. So I try sometimes to translate this beautiful spirit of his, and that's what he tells us about Yitzchak. Listen to this. Yitzchak Avinu, quiet and passive on the surface, is actually a great revolutionary, and his prayer is quiet but steady revolution with devotion and with persistence going on for 20 years until it bears the fruit of a twin birth. Here too, there was no external drama, okay, throughout his life. Nothing external. Everything is in here. There was no external drama, but if we read carefully, we see a story of 20 years persistent unfold. Yitzchak does not budge from Eretz Israel. He does not budge from the ancient wells, and he does not budge from prayer. Now, we can look again at this boring definition of tzaddik ben tzaddik, okay? Avraham had his challenges, but Yitzchak has hard challenges too. Avraham spread the word of Hashem wherever he wandered, while Yitzchak stays, same place, same tent, same wife, by the way, one wife, Rivka, focuses on digging deep and praying with intensity for many, many, many years. I saw a speech, a shiur, Harav Adin Steindels gave to teenagers, all FFB, young people, and he told them, the problem with everyone who grew up in a religious home is the routine. Whoever digs new wells lives in another world of awakening, of being uplifted. They already dug wells here. You can see the signs. Why dig again? It's like a lecture that you wrote and was deleted, and now you have to write it again. It's depressing. Where is the feeling that comes with doing something new? Where is the vitality? All beginners, as we said, are hard, but continuations are hard as well. Now, I remember I stole it from him. Yeah, this sentence belongs to him. In this sense, Avraham does not only create Yitzchak, but Yitzchak creates Avraham. Yitzchak gives Avraham validity and perpetual existence. Without Yitzchak, what would Avraham have been? The capacity to create continuity is not only important for the future, but also changes the meaning of the past and will determine whether Avraham succeeded after all. It's because of Yitzchak that we're here, not only because of Avraham. And this is, as I said, a very hard question of what is so special about Tfilat Tzadik Ben Tzadik, about Yitzchak's prayer. I will show one last quote about this. I would say, because I know how people who come from observant houses sometimes feel everything's obvious, the new things happen out there, not in here. Nothing is interesting in my shul, my camp, my campus, my Hillel, my Chabad house, my, you know, Rav, my community. Everything happens out there. Harav Simcha Zissel Ziv writes in his book, Chochma Umusar, the Hebrew is his heart, but I will translate. He explains, Yitzchak, okay, took the old things he got from Abraham and made them into something of his own. You are not just a robot taking it from this generation, passing it to the next generation. It belonged to him. And he explains, Yitzchak discovered something on his own, since what he found on his own will have more, I would say, more reality, more nochachut. I mean, he learned something from Avraham, but he worked so hard in order to make it his own philosophy, his own ideology. That's very hard, but it's worth it. I mean, he created something old and new. He created this mixture of the second generation. So I think that we can, I think, basically I said Hanan Porat's book wasn't translated yet. This song I'm about to share, of course, wasn't translated. It's a Hebrew song, but I think many Americans might find it, I would say, very relevant to their life. This songwriter and musician, Yochai Ben Avi, an Israeli guy, lives in the north, wrote a song, and he calls it Dati Mileda, from birth. And he touches here, I think, this valid point, and we appreciate, we admire Baalei Tshuva, those who are like newly observant, okay, the Avraham Avinus, okay? And we fail to appreciate those who grew up in an observant home, you know, just like the Yitzchak Avinus. They're not so interesting, the Tzadik Ben Tzadik. So he writes, and I will translate, I needed me the Timi Leda. I'm religious from birth. What? What's bad about it? I never ate pork, pig. I didn't learn to deny God, lo lamadeti kfira. I never wondered, you know, from this cut to cut, all these other streams, other religions. I never searched, you know, myself outside of Judaism. No, I didn't suddenly wake up after the army. In Israel, many people discovered Judaism after the army. I don't have this light of Chozer B'Tshuva. Dati mileda ve'ani mu'ushar, I'm quite happy. Here, my brothers, here, I'm singing. I pray regularly on a minyan, often kavua. Under my clothes, you will not find kakua, a tattoo. I have no story to tell to the world. I'm just a simple person, exactly like everyone. But I will reveal a little secret if you want to hear. Also, someone who's religious from birth knows how to cry. That they know they fall down and find it hard to get back up. Kashe lakum velipol. We also think this world is quite strange, a little twisted, out of shape. I'm familiar to Hashem, quite familiar, for years. Sometimes confused. Sometimes I feel like a stranger. I go away and they go get close again. I come and I go. Because gam dati mileda ubal tshuva. Even those who are religious from birth are newly religious. And I think that's a really important message. Never underestimate, you know, the way you grew up. To be Yitzchak Avinu, it's not like something, you know, meaningless, although the world focuses on the Avraham Avinus. I can't just stop here because, okay, so if I will stop here, it's like we have this battle, Yitzchak versus Rivka, and now I explained, so, you know, with all these examples, why Yitzchak is the winner, right? It's Tzadik ben Tzadik, it's better than Tzadik ben Rasha. No, that, of course, cannot be our conclusion. There's a new book written by Nir Menussi. It's called Mi Zot Ola. It's about women in the Bible. And from this Hasidic perspective of how to read the Bible and see the women's, I would say, during, especially on Sefer Bereshit. And he explains, Nir Menussi, it's not a case of Yitzchak versus Rivka, and we need to determine whose prayer is more important. It's a matter of completing the other. Yitzchak prayers, Rivka prayers, and Rashi explains, he prays in this zavit. You know what a zavit is in Hebrew? It's not only the pina, the corner. It's a point of view. It's a perspective. It's the angle you choose. You have your zavit. I have my zavit. Okay? And together it creates this beautiful mixture. He prays here. She prays there. And the book Siach Sarfei Kodesh by the Admor from Amshinov says that they each appreciated each other. It's not that I'm better, you're Tzadik Ben Rasha, my prayer will be accepted. I'm Tzadik Ben Rasha, you're just Tzadik Ben Tzadik, my prayer will be completely the opposite. Rivka Tzadeket, Aita Mitpalelet, Sheteane Bizchut Yitzchak. The righteous Rivka prayed that her prayer would be answered in the merit of Yitzchak. She thought he's better. And Yitzchak prayed that his prayer would be answered in the merit of righteous Rivka. That's why the prayer was answered, was accepted, because of this, you know, Shechina Benehem, because of this special relationship. They appreciated each other's journey, and they had a lot to learn from each other. Now, I'm not objective. I am Baal HaTshuva. My husband is from birth, and Baruch Hashem. So, but I highly recommend, you know, making connections between these two sectors is so important. We have so much to learn, to share, to give to each other. And we see it every Shabbat morning when we pray Shacharit. There's a list of four prayers, and you can see the names of Yitzchak and Rivka together hinted in them. When we say, Befi Yesharim Titromam, that's Yud and Reish, Ubefi Siftei Tzadikim Titbarach, Uvilshon Chasidim Titkadash, Uvekerev Kdoshim Titalal, you see the first letters of the people who pray, Yesharim, Tzadikim, Chasidim, Kdoshim, they spell Yitzchak. And the first letters of the types of prayer, Romem, Barech, Kadesh, Vehalel, they spell Rivka. And the conclusion drawn from this is the complete prayer which emerges from the couple is this combination of prayers of both Yitzchak and Rivka. So that's our mission, I think, to learn to appreciate both journeys, combine them in order to continue. Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue next week with the next generation and the next parasha. Thank you very much. See you Be'ezrat Hashem next week. Thank you very much, Uri. And those who want to follow, you always ask me, where are you? This Shabbat Be'ezrat Hashem, Toronto. Next Shabbat Be'ezrat Hashem, Florida. So whoever wants to get all the information, that's the way to subscribe and get all the links, the text, the shiurim, and that's out. Thank you very much, and Shabbat Shalom already. Toda Rabba. Thank you. Toda.